Amen. I'm going to ask Potter's Wheel to come now.
Hey, man, it's good to be with you guys. Is there anybody out there? Amen. Amen. Who loves the Lord today? All right, we got a few there. Amen. Oh, me. We got somebody special to meet helping us out here today. This is my daughter over here, Miss Stacy Shook. She's sang with us for 6 years, and she agreed to come and help us today because Wendy couldn't be with us, and it's just good to be able to get to sing with her again, and I hope that we all bless your heart here today.
Christ is calling all his children, come and be blessed. All ye now heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Just lean on this promise, brother, you'll find it's true. I like the promise, I'm coming for you. Well, I like the promise that he gave when he left. Oh, he's the rock and I can hide in the cleft. Oh, he will pilot my soul safely on through. I like the promise, I'm coming for you.
Anybody looking forward to it? All right.
Many are the sainted pilgrims gone on before. Loved ones who've left us now wait on that shore. Sometimes their leavings left me lonely and blue. Till Jesus whispers, I am coming for you.
That he gave when he left. Oh, he's the rock and I can hide in the cleft. Oh, he will pilot my soul safely on through. I like the promise, I'm coming for you. Well, I like the promise that he gave when he left. Oh, he's the rock and I can hide in the cleft. Oh, he will pilot my soul safely on through. I like the promise, I'm coming for you. Standing on the promises of Christ my King. I like the promise, I'm coming for you. I like the promise, I'm coming for you.
Amen. He's coming for his church one day. You believe that? I believe it's going to be soon, too, and I'm looking forward to it. Amen. Listen to Stacy. She sings, Surely.
Truth, goodness, and mercy are going to follow me everywhere I go. Truth, mercy are gonna follow me everywhere I go.
The goodness and the mercies of the Lord my God are right behind me every step I try.
Surely goodness and mercy are gonna follow me everywhere I go.
The Lord is my shepherd, a comfort to my soul. When I lose direction, I trust the one who knows. Pastures and valleys, restoring my faith, guiding my steps for the glory of his name. My cup runneth over, my strength is renewed. Shout hallelujah, there ain't nothing that I can do.
Goodness and mercy are gonna follow me everywhere I go.
Goodness and mercy
are gonna follow me everywhere I go.
The goodness and the mercies of the Lord my God are right behind me every step I try.
Truly, goodness and mercy are gonna follow me everywhere I go.
God's said it, I heard it, it settled in my mind. Every day I walk with Jesus, new mercies I find. I follow the leader and his spirit follows me, protecting my soul from what I cannot see. He goes before me, he walks beside me. Great God Almighty, I got angels all around me. Goodness and mercy are gonna follow me everywhere I go. Surely goodness and mercy are gonna follow me eternally. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and evermore. Surely goodness and mercy are gonna follow me eternally. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and evermore. Surely goodness and mercy are gonna follow me everywhere I go. Surely goodness and mercy are gonna follow me everywhere I go. The goodness and the mercies of the Lord my God right behind me every step I try. Surely goodness and mercy are gonna follow me everywhere I go. Surely goodness and mercy are gonna follow me everywhere I go. Follow me everywhere I go.
Amen. Amen. Just a little bit about Stacy. I know you guys don't know this, but my wife, she had three sisters. I had three sisters. We had three daughters, three granddaughters, and all of our animals were female. But now she's carrying our first little boy. And we can't wait to meet him and take him on a tractor ride or something, you know. I understand she's out of breath there. I've been carrying this one for a long time. So I understand. Amen. Amen. Whoop. All right.
Just had to give her a minute to breathe.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Savior has ransomed me. when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the
song that we're going to do is the preacher and Mona's favorite song. And when we were practicing yesterday, we went over this song, and I said, "Stacy, no pressure, but this is the preacher and his wife's favorite song." So she said, "Oh yeah, definitely no pressure." But we are grateful that Stacy came and stepped up when Wendy couldn't be here. We miss Wendy this morning. She had a friend that passed away, and she's at a funeral in Rock Hill, South Carolina, so the timing just didn't work out. But we called and asked Stacy if she would come, and she graciously agreed to, and we're thankful for that. This is cool for us because we get to sing with her again, and it's we've missed it, and we love you, and we appreciate you doing this today. But y'all just pray for us as we sing. A lot of these songs we haven't sang together in almost 4 years, and well, about three and a half, I guess. Anyway, but you know, the Lord just blessed our practice yesterday, and we're so thankful for just the opportunity again to come and just sing this morning. We sang, Larry and I sang, well, with Wendy, we sang Friday night, twice Saturday, and then we're singing this morning. So our voices are tired and our bodies are tired. We got home about 12:15 this morning, and but our spirits are excited and ready for what God's going to do. So y'all just continue to pray for us as we sing, and just love on us with smiles. We love smiles. And we just hope that something we sing or say will bless your heart this morning.
As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. Then he said, "Do you remember where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you at how far you've come. Oh, and every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through? Didn't I walk on the water and I calmed the raging sea? Pulled to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? Searched until I found you, and I do it all again." Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. She said, "My bills are coming due, Lord,
and 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so soft and low, says, I moved like this before. I'll do this little thing. Oh, and I'll give you so much more.
And I'll walk on the water, and I'll calm the raging sea.
Oh, I spoke to
the winds.
Oh, it hurt.
And hushed it again, Jesus. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called?
Oh, I walked right beside you
just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave
all of heaven
just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again. Didn't I leave all of heaven to die for your sin? I searched until I found you,
and I do it all.
You know, as a dad, I was
give me a minute.
You know, I was sad today, and for a while, that whenever Stacy said she was going to leave the group. But at the same time, I had to be proud. Because, you know, I prayed for my kids to follow the Lord. And she decided to do that. Her husband take her kids to church and be in a stable environment and to raise them up in church. You know, and Dad had to get out of the way. But I'm so thankful that God is leading them, and they're following. That's what I have to be proud of, and I'm so thankful for that. And I know that one day I'll get to sing for eternity with them. You know, and I'm just so proud of them. I don't know what to do. But and it's such a blessing to get to sing with her again today.
This next song is called When God Has Another Plan. It is one of my favorite songs, and my favorite line is, and it's become even more real to me just as the years have gone on, what it says. But, you know, my favorite line is, we don't have to understand. And it's not, I'm thankful for, I mean, just in my own life, that God, he bears the weight of understanding. Because, I mean, sometimes it's just, if we knew all that was going on or why it was going on, I mean, that's a heavy weight. You know, I'm thankful that God chooses to bear that weight of understanding, and that we can trust him, that we can just rest in his promises and just trust that he's got a plan, and that his plan is perfect, and it might not make sense to us, but knowing that I can trust him, it means everything. So just listen to the words of this song. If I can sing it now that I'm gonna cry.
Not what Joseph dreamed. The coat of many colors was stained with blood and lies. days, but from this divine appointment, a ruler would arise when God has another plan. Walk on and just say yes when God has another plan. Be assured that He knows best when all your dreams are shattered. Rest in His sufficient grace. We don't have to understand when God has another plan. Questions fill your mind, and changes can be hard, but they come by God's design. And if you could see tomorrow with a view from heaven's throne, every unexpected struggle has led you closer home. God has another plan. Walk on and just say yes when God has another plan. Be assured that He knows best when all your dreams are shattered. Rest in His sufficient grace. We don't have to understand. When God has another plan.
Amen. 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 You know, in those times when we don't understand, that's when we have to trust the most. You know, we should trust Him all the time, but in those times, when we need to trust Him the most. And it comes down to it. Do we or not? You know, because sometimes we may get a little ill at the Lord, or we don't understand why things are happening. It may make us, you know, a little unhappy, but we have to understand that the things that happen are for our good, and we've got to trust Him in those things. Amen. When's the last time you told the Lord you love Him?
David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all was lost, save knowing Christ. Little John said He is precious while leaning on His bosom. So for a moment, may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love Him, how I worship and adore Him, when I can see no love? many sermons can be preached about this Jesus? How many songs can be sung about God's Son? Oh, there are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all the Savior has done. Did I mention the
see the valley.
but we don't. He knows the end from the beginning. He looks ahead past the hurt and the pain to a place where the peace passes all understanding. He sees the sun through the rain, and then you may see your valley. He sees the mountain you'll be standing on, when all you can see are the tears falling down. I'm so glad he sees what we don't. And I am so glad he sees what we don't.
Amen. Bless you. Amen. You remember the time when God called your name? Whenever when the Holy Spirit nudged you a little bit and say, it's time. It's something about hearing him call your name. If you understand where he's... If you've been with him a while, you understand. You know that still small voice. You recognize it from all others. And you know, and that's what's so special about the Lord is whenever, you know, we hear all these voices in the world, what the world's crying out. But whenever those voices cry out, then you hear the Lord's voice and you recognize, you know, that's not right. Or he'll talk to you whenever it's time. You know, whenever you're going through something, if you'll just listen and listen to his voice and learn what his voice sounds like. There's nothing like hearing his voice. She thought he was a gardener when she met him on the road. She had gone to see the tomb where Jesus lay. But when she heard the stranger speak, "Mary, I am the one you seek," she ran to the disciples and through her tears they heard her say, "When he spoke to me, I knew it was the Savior. When he spoke to me, he called me by my name. The stone that sealed my heart with fear rolled suddenly away. I knew I'd never be the same."
The years I walked without him, living only for myself, but that only led to pain and misery. Then in my heart, child, there is a better way. So I knelt down at his feet, felt his mercy cover me. When he spoke to me, I knew it was the Savior. When he spoke to me, he called me by my name. Sealed my heart with fear, broke silence.
I'd never be the same. The storm that sealed my heart with fear rolled suddenly away. For when Jesus spoke, I knew I'd never be the same. Be the same.
Y'all give him another hand. That is one of our favorite songs. We've listened to it so many times on YouTube that I don't know what to think to hear it in person, but I thank y'all for that. I'm thank y'all for not singing it last, because then I probably would have to fix the contact again. So I thank y'all for that. But, you know, I was thinking when they were singing that, all through life, we do things that, you know, we kind of wish we hadn't done. I don't know about y'all. I mean, have you ever had regrets? What about Jesus saying, I left all of heaven. I searched for you and found you. I died for you. And he says, and I'll do it all again. Can you imagine? Jesus had no regrets for coming to earth and dying for us. You know what that should make us want to do? Live the best life we can for him. We shouldn't want Jesus to ever have any regrets for the life that he died to give us. Let us pray. And kind fathers, we come before you this morning and look at these texts. Lord, we just thank you that you promised that it was to our advantage that you would go away, because if you would go away, you would send the Holy Spirit, who would teach us all things and bring into remembrance all that you said. That the Spirit would guide us in truth and teach us the things to come. So Lord, we just ask this morning as we look at this text that you would bless us with your truth being applied to our hearts. The Holy Spirit would strengthen us that we could obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at this text this morning, I want you to go back and look through these texts this week. I thought I had a confidence monitor here with my notes, so I'm preaching without notes, so y'all just hang on. Amen. You know, as we look at this, I got up here, it's Luke 23, and this is online too. You can go back and find these or text me. But the message is about Jesus' crucifixion is in Luke chapter 23, John chapter 19, Matthew chapter 27, and Mark chapter 15. And this morning, usually I preach from one passage or one paragraph, but this morning we're going to be looking at Luke, and we're going to be looking at John and Matthew and back to John. Now, Mark chapter 15 there has got the same saying that is in Matthew, so you can look at them. But this week, here's what I want to tell you. These are seven sermons from an old rugged cross. Stu Epperson is a pastor that's wrote several books from up in Greensboro, North Carolina, and he said that these are Jesus's best sermons preached from a wooden pulpit carved out of an old rugged cross. I love that. So when you think about these, a lot of times we say these were Jesus' last words. And they are, and the Bible often records last words. Paul in 2 Timothy wrote to Timothy, his child in the faith, kind of his last will and testament. That was the last will and the last words that Paul would give Timothy as instruction of how to lead the church, how to live the Christian life. And here Jesus, we say these are the last words of Jesus often, but these was actually the last words of Jesus on the cross. Because guess what? 3 days later, Jesus got up. Jesus walked out of the tomb. So you could preach seven sermons from here, but since we don't have 7 weeks till Easter, and since I don't have 7 hours, I'm going to condense them into one sermon. So I want you to think about this. There's 7 days until Easter. Amen? This is Palm Sunday, and we usually celebrate it by preaching a Palm Sunday service about how Jesus rode into Jerusalem. I've never understood that, because it looks like that we ought to talk about Palm Sunday last week, talk about the cross this week, because Friday is Good Friday. Today we celebrate that Christ died for our sins. Y'all tracking with me so far? So here is, guess how many days is it till next Sunday? Seven. So here's you seven messages, one for each day, to get you ready to celebrate the resurrection next Sunday. Now you say, well, why is that important? Well, think about what they did on Palm Sunday. Jesus rode into town on a donkey so that they would know he was the Messiah who brought peace to God's people. He come in bringing peace, bringing reconciliation. And they was cheering for him. Hosea, which means God save us. And they were saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they were saying, even the king. And 5 days later, they was hollering, crucify him. Can you imagine how they lost focus on the Messiah enough in 5 days to reject him and say, crucify him? You know, I was reading this morning Psalm 118. It says, this is the stone which the builder rejected. Jesus left heaven knowing he was going to be rejected. So this morning, I want us to look at the last seven words or the seven sayings that Jesus says on the cross. You know that he was tried by Pilate. Pilate kept saying, I find no guilt in this man. He is innocent. What do you want me to do with him? And we know the chief priest and the religious leaders, they was hollering, crucify him. The soldiers was mocking him. They was hurling abuse at him. The thief on the right, the thief on the left. They led Christ out to the place called the Skull or Golgotha, or we call in Latin, it's called Calvary. That's where we get the name Calvary when we talk about the cross of Calvary. They lead him outside of camp, because in Leviticus it tells us that when you give a sacrifice for the sins, that the blood is shed and the sacrifice is killed and burnt outside of the camp. You take it outside of the city. And so Christ goes out for us, and as he is out there, and they take him to the place called the Skull. In Luke's gospel, in chapter 33, it says that they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. Jesse was on the right and I was on the left. You know, we often think, look what they've done. But they had rejected God. They was not living God's way, and Jesus was crucified with transgressors to fulfill what was wrote in Scripture. And as Jesus is hanging on the cross, he come to do what he began his ministry doing. It says in Mark that he began his ministry by preaching, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. God's rule is close enough for you to touch it. And here, Jesus says, Father, forgive them. Who? Forgive who? Forgive you and me. You know, we often want to say, well, it was the Roman soldiers that crucified him. It was the religious and political leaders that sent him to the death. But Jesus come to die for you and me, for them, for those who had rejected him. He says, Father, forgive them, because they know not what they are doing. And it says here that they casted lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. That tells, that was to fulfill what is written in Psalm 22, verse 18, about them dividing up his garments. Here Jesus says, forgive them. Forgive them for what? Forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Romans 8:28 says that God works all things together for the good of those who love him according to his purposes. For those who he preordained, he did that so that we'd be conformed into the image of Christ. You know, we often say that God works all things together for the good of those who love him. And here, this is what Jesus is saying. They don't know what they're doing. They're doing something evil. Remember what Joseph said? He told his brothers, what you did for evil, God used for good. Here Jesus says, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Here's Jesus' message for you this morning. Jesus is praying for you. Chapter 17 of John is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I realized when I was preaching my mama's funeral, that must be where I got this, my favorite verse. My favorite verse. Because somebody asked me one time, you must have 100 favorite verses. Like my mama, I mean, she always told me that. But there's a lot of passages that mean a lot. Chapter 17 is one of them because Jesus prayed for us. Here, when he says Father, he's addressing a prayer. He's prayed publicly and privately the whole time he was on this earth. And he prays, Father, forgive them. Now, here's the part in chapter 6 of John when we've been preaching through John. Jesus says this, no one comes unto the Son except for who the Father draws. And then he says in chapter 14, no one comes unto the Father except through the Son. You know what Jesus is saying? Lord, draw them. Y'all just sung a while ago if you heard his voice. Do you know why we accept salvation? Because God calls us. It's not because we got up one day and said, well, I found Jesus. I'm going to go get me a new suit. I'm going to go to church. Mama's going to be happy and everything will be all right. God calls us. Jesus speaks the gospel through the Holy Spirit into our hearts, and we realize something. We're sinners undone. When Isaiah heard that call, he says, woe is me, I'm ruined. When he stood in the presence of a holy and mighty God, the glory of God entered the temple and shook the threshold. I mean, I always think on Sunday mornings, Lord, when we get to church, let your glory shake the doors when we come in here. Let us know that you're God. Let us remember what you've done for us. Jesus says, look, I want everyone to be saved. He says, Father, draw them to the cross. Chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus says, if I am lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Verse 33 says he was indicating the kind of death that he would suffer. In the morning when you get up before you start your week, say, Jesus, thank you for calling me to salvation. I want you to say, Lord, help me today live saved. See, that was the first sermon that Jesus preached from the cross. Look at the next one. Jesus promised to remember us. In Luke chapter 23, verse 43, he said to the thief on the cross, today, truly I say to you, you will be with me in paradise. If you remember what happened in Mark's gospel, it's talking about it. And here also, the two thieves are crucified with Christ about noon, and it says that they were hurling abuse at him. Others saw Christ, and they were saying, if he's really the Christ, and he could really make the blind see and the lame walk, can he save himself? Couldn't he call out to God? Do you know that God in Christ Jesus could have said one thing and put a stop to this whole crucifixion? It would have been simply no. They was hurling abuse at him. Peter tells us, and we see it all through the Old Testament in Isaiah, that he didn't utter a word. He was silent as a lamb going to slaughter. You know, something happened. God answered a prayer. Two men, same background, same problems, hanging on the cross. One of them's cussing Jesus, and the other one, after being with Jesus for 3 hours, said, why are you insulting him? He's the only one here innocent. The Father's prayer was just answered. God called him to see the Son as who he was, and to see himself on that cross as he was, a sinner undone. And he says, Jesus, remember me today when you come into your kingdom. Tuesday morning when you get up, I want you to say, Lord Jesus, thank you for the life you gave me. Today, remember to take rule of it. Take control of that life. Help me to submit to you. Help me not to reject the things that you want me to do today. Help me know when that little voice says, don't do that. Don't go over there. Let me ask you, if Jesus prayed and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what you do, is it somebody between now and next Sunday in your family, at your workplace, at church, that you need to forgive? Jesus wants us to remember that we should forgive as we've been forgiven. You know, he says, what value is it if you just forgive the people you get along with? I'm paraphrasing. He said, you need to forgive your enemies. How do you forgive them? You pray for them. What do you ask? You ask for the Lord to save them, forgive them, and change their life. Did you know a saved person is a lot easier to get along with than an unsaved person? And just like the thief, he told the other thief, why are you hurling abuse at him? He's the only one here innocent. Jesus, remember me today when you come in to your kingdom. Not just save me, Jesus. Take control of me, Jesus. You know, when we get saved, we're not just saying, Lord, save me so I don't feel bad no more. We're saying, Lord, save me, change me, and take control of me. Can't have Jesus as Savior if he's not Lord. Dr. Carson, I mean, my mentor, he used to tell me all the time, if Jesus is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. You got to continually give him control. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, today you shall be with me in paradise. This paradise, looking at Revelation 2, Jesus says this to the church at Ephesus. He says, he who has ear, y'all got ears? All right, listen to this. That's what that means. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him who conquers, to him or her who is victorious, I will grant to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. It's talking about the paradise of God. It's talking about heaven. It's talking about you had the Garden of Eden, and one day we'll have a garden city. In other words, it's talking about God restoring reign over his kingdom. You know, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, the people said, they added something to Psalm 118. They said, God save us. Blessed is he who comes to save us. But then they said, even the king. Even God's king. Hey, that wasn't in Psalm 118. They added something. Lord, give us back our kingdom. Lord, give us back the house. Lord, give us back the Senate. Lord, give us back the White House. Lord, we want control. You know what? Jesus didn't come to give us control. He came to restore God's control over us. And this is what we need to know, that Jesus gives us a promise. I'll pray for you to receive forgiveness, and I'll pray for you to accept my control over your life. Here's the promise. If you've accepted Jesus' forgiveness, he will reign over your life and you'll spend eternity with him. John chapter 17 verse 3, Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. Guess what? You don't have to wait to heaven to enjoy peace with God. The moment you ask for forgiveness, ask Jesus to take control of your life, you have eternal life. The third message we have this morning from Jesus is that Jesus forges us into a family. It says that as Jesus is hanging on the cross, that Mary, her sister, which is James and John's mama, and the other ladies are standing there. John's with her. Sometime between 12 and 3 the other ladies and some of the disciples, according to the other gospels, they're standing kind of far off. But Mary, Jesus' mother, and John, the disciple who Jesus loved, they are standing at the foot of the cross. Jesus is looking down at them, and it says when he saw his mother in verse 26 and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold," or "Woman, look, here's your son." And then he says to the disciple, "Behold, your mother." Jesus was the oldest. He did have some stepbrothers. But guess what? They didn't believe in Jesus till after the resurrection. What Jesus is showing them here is there's a new family. Do you remember Mark 3 when the disciples come to Jesus? He's at the height of his ministry. It's getting started. Everything's going good. He's healing people. They're bringing people to him from everywhere. They've done chopped a hole in a roof, lowered a man down. He's healed him. Things is going good. And they say, "Your mom and brother sitting outside. They want to see you." Jesus says, "Who is my mother and brother?" And they said, "We don't know, Lord." And he points around. He says, "Everyone who believes in me." Fast forward over in Matthew, the rich young ruler can't give up all his stuff to follow Jesus. Jesus says how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. And Peter and James and John, they say, "Well, Lord, if it's that hard and the rich can't do it, how can anybody else?" And Jesus says, "For what is impossible with man, but nothing is impossible with God." In other words, salvation is a God thing. And Peter goes on and he says this, "What about us? When you got saved, did you fear you was giving up something? Did you think getting saved would take away the fun?" I used to think so. Before I ever got saved, I used to go to try to get saved a bunch of times. You know what was in the way? Stuff. I'd be like, "Lord, I need you to forgive me, and I'm going to do good and come to church." And I'd be thinking, this is the truth now, I hate to admit this, but when I was 17, 18, 19, all the way up to 31, every time I ever asked the Lord to forgive me and take control of my life, it'd be like, "Wonder if I got to give up that. Wonder if it'd be all right to do that once in a while." Y'all ever done that? You know what Jesus says? "He who has give up houses and farms, mamas and daddies, will gain twice as much and 100 times as much." He says, in this generation. You know, there's people that get saved and their families disown them. There's people that get saved, their family don't really disown them, but they don't call them to the Christmas party. Because you put a damper on it, right? I thought for a long time my name must be Damper. You know what Jesus is saying there to Peter and the disciples? "I'm building a family." John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as receive him, to them he grants to become children of God." He makes us into God's children, which makes us into a family. He looks down at his mother. His job is to take care of her. Why? He followed God's will the whole time he was here. It says, "Honor your mother and father." He looks at her and says, "Woman," or "Ma'am, look at your son. Son, look at your mother." And it says John took her home from then on. Now, can you imagine old Simone over here with Mary Magdalene and them? She's looking, wonder what they're talking about. And her sister says, "I think she's going to come home and live with you." It says that she lived with John the rest of the time. John brought her into her family. They had something new going on. They was all what? Children of God. He had forged them into a family. Do you know that the church puts us together to be a family? I went to a funeral yesterday, a memorial service, and I was thinking on the way up there, you know, how many of my friends, and one reason is because all my friends was older than me growing up. I've lost so many friends and family members in all the last couple of years. You know, and with losing them, it's left their spouses and their children and their grandchildren alone. You know what James 1:27 says? "This is pure and undefiled religion, that you visit orphans and widows." You know what Jesus is doing right here? Joseph, Mary's husband, has already passed away. She's a widower. John is an orphan. He's just put them two together to what? Care for one another. Psalm 118 says that the Lord is good and his loving kindness everlasting. Jesus is caring for his mom and the disciple who loved him while he's dying for their sins and suffering on the cross. If Jesus suffered that much to forge us into a family, how much harder should we try to be the family of God? Wednesday, say, Lord, help me enjoy and build your church. Did you know that the church as the family of God cannot be destructed except for us tearing it up from the inside? Jesus says that the gates of hell will not prevail or overtake it. Jesus died to forge us into the family of God. He prayed that God would call us, that we'd be forgiven. He prayed that we would accept his forgiveness as the thief did. And then he prayed that we would work together to be the family of God. Fourth, Jesus was forsaken so that we could be reconciled. If we look at Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, it says, now it was about the sixth hour, and darkness fell upon the land until the ninth hour. So from 3 o'clock in the afternoon to 6 o'clock at night, darkness fell because Jesus was separated from God. Can you imagine this? The eternal generated Son of God, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit had always existed. There was never a time that the Godhead didn't exist in perfect love and harmony. And when Christ took our sins in his body on a cross so that the just may die for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, according to Peter, when he was on the cross, because he had took on our sin, the Father couldn't look upon him. Because God is holy and can't have no sin. And he says this. He says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's from Psalm 22, verse 1, when David is talking about being forsaken by God. For 3 hours, Jesus suffered for our sins, bore our sins in his body, and God could not look upon him. He was ripped from the relationship he had for God. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he was forsaken so that what? We could be reconciled. And throughout Paul's teaching, he talks about being reconciled to God through Christ. Christ said in chapter 10 of Hebrews that sacrifices you did not desire, but a body you had made for me. Christ gave his body on the cross so that he could be punished and we could be forgiven and reconciled or be made into peace with God. There's one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Jesus Christ. So here he was forsaken. Have you ever, you know, had somebody you might have been friends with, a family member, and they get mad at you and they just won't talk to you no more? I was talking to somebody the other day and I asked them how somebody's doing. I said, I don't know. They ain't spoke to me in 10 years. You know, when somebody gets mad at us and don't want to talk to us, you know, I used to get in trouble a lot when I was little somehow or another. I don't know how that would happen to me, but it would. And Daddy would say, just don't talk to me right now. Which sometimes is a blessing. It saved that whooping. But you know, I'd rather my daddy whoop me than not talk to me. One of the worst things I did as a kid is I kicked Miss Jenny, my babysitter, and don't know why I done it really, except for just meanness. You know what my daddy made me do? Go tell my grandma. They all went somewhere and left me at my grandma's house. He come back like 3 hours later. Did you tell her? I've been sitting there and I hadn't said a word. Grandma didn't know why I was there. I didn't want her to know what I had done. But you know, not talking to her was horrible punishment. Because I didn't know what I wanted. I didn't want her to know what I'd done. Do you know why Christ was forsaken? Because of our sin, our shame, our guilt. Did you know we can freely come before God and tell Him everything that we've done and ask Him to forgive? Because Jesus has already took our punishment. Whatever's been going on in your life that's keeping you from being real close to God, guess what you can do? Thursday, just tell God, God, I need you to forgive this. God, I'm getting ready for Easter. Lord, we're going to get together with church. We're going to have some biscuits and some singing. We're going to have a good time. Lord, I just need to be close to you and talk to you. Jesus was forsaken so we can pray and talk to the Father. Don't forget that next week. Remember to thank God for calling you to salvation. Remember to pray for somebody in your family. You know, I got family members I'd love to be here this week, and I got one that showed up today. I'm glad. She does go to church regular, though. But I've got other family members I invite all the time. You know, matter of fact, I invite them so much. You know what happens when I call them on Saturday? They don't answer the phone. So I'll text them. I know you're home. But you know, I can't get them to church and I can't save them. But that's the people Monday you need to be thinking about. Lord, forgive them. Lord, call them to salvation. Then we need to show them what it means for Christ to have rule over our life. Let them know that we believe we're going to spend eternity with God, so we're already living on earth like we're already in heaven. That's what the thief says. He's innocent. Lord Jesus, remember me when you come into your reign. When you take control, remember me. I want to be with you. Remember church members. Call and check on them. See how they're doing. Jesus is forging us into a family. And remember that He was forsaken so that we can be reconciled to God. It says here that Jesus suffered so we could be satisfied. In John 19:28, it says, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill what is written in Scripture, Jesus says, I am thirsty. That fulfills Psalm 69:21. Jesus says, I am thirsty. He had suffered for us. Human, being fully man, Jesus, in chapter 4 of John, He was hungry and thirsty. Here, He is parched. He's been in the sun. He's hanging on a cross, and He says, I am thirsty. He said this to fulfill the will of God, to fulfill Scripture that is written in Psalm 69, that they gave me sour wine to drink. Here, they dipped it in hyssop, which was the same branch that was used to dip the oil at the dip in the blood and put over the door header and the doorpost in the Passover. And here they have dipped the sour wine. They've passed it up to Jesus. And Jesus took this so that we could be fully satisfied. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 6, it says this. I got the wrong verse here, but what it says is, all that are thirsty, let them come to me for drink without cost. We can have the living water. In chapter 7 of John, Jesus says that all who are thirsty, let them come. And if you believe, from you waters, living waters will flow. He was talking about the Holy Spirit there. So Jesus here fulfilled Scripture in that he says, I am thirsty. And then in verse 30, we see the sixth message that Jesus preaches. Here, it says that Jesus says, after he had taken the wine, it is finished. This word, it is finished, is a word that means complete. It's a word, teleos. It's in a perfect tense of an indicative. In other words, it's a fact, but it's a fact that was accomplished with ongoing results. So when Jesus says it is finished, what he is saying, there's been a lot of receipts found from this time, and across them this word was stamped. It's the same thing as us. You remember used to, before you got all your receipts emailed, when you go pay something and you get it paid, they had that big red stamp and they'd stamp it. It said paid in full and they'd stamp it sideways on it. Y'all remember that? Or am I the only one that old? Now they email everything to you. But that's what they found, documents that had this word wrote across it. And what it meant was your taxes have been paid in full. Your debt has been paid in full. When Jesus says it is finished, he says he's come to do the will of the Father. And he's saying everything that God willed me to do on this earth has been completed. I was born, I lived, and I have died. Everything is completed. There's nothing left. Now here's the beauty of this. And time's got away from me, I apologize, and I'll be closing here. Here's the beauty of it, it's finished. You do not have to work for your salvation. You do not have to worry if you're pleasing God. Jesus has accomplished that for you. The wage of sin was death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Paul says in Ephesians that we're saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works that no man may boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them. Jesus says it this way, if you weary and heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. You know, sometimes we think we got to do all this stuff at church, or we got to get dressed just right, or got to wear the right shoes, wear the right hat, we got to say the right things. You know what we got to do to come to church and worship? Just show up. Ask the Lord on the way. Said, Lord, get my heart right. Lord, get me ready. That's why I wanted you to see these seven sermons. Jesus says, Father, forgive them. He says, I'll never forsake you. I'll never forget you. He says, I'm making y'all all into a family. Look, I've done everything you need. What you got to do? Follow me. That's all we have to do. And then lastly, Jesus places his life into God's hands. Look what it says in Luke 23, verse 46. It says, Jesus cried out in a loud voice. So Jesus says, it is finished. The other gospel says, and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. In other words, nobody took it from him. Jesus has already said in John's gospel that I lay down my life, and if I lay down my life, I can take it up again. No one takes it from the Son. He says he is the good shepherd because he lays down his life, and no greater love has one for another than he lay down his life for a friend. And here Jesus bows his head. He says, it is finished. The will of God for salvation for the whole world is complete. And he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, or I commend my spirit. This is the greatest act of faith in the Bible, in my opinion. We talk about David and Moses, and we talk about all the heroes of the faith. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, what about Jesus, the creator of the world? He gave up his life for us, bowed his head, and said, Father, I'm trusting you to raise me victorious over sin and death in 3 days. when Jesus promised us that he committed his spirit into God's hands. In other words, when Jesus says, I placed my whole life into God's hands. Next Sunday, when we celebrate the resurrection, that's proof that God can be trusted. Here's the last thing we need to remember about these seven sermons. Have you trusted your complete life to God? Lord, in your hands, I'm going to put my problems. Lord, in your hands, I'm going to put my fears. Lord, in your hands, the uncertainty about what's going on in the world. Lord, my kids that won't come to church, into your hands. My grandkids, my job, my retirement, my family, my marriage. Lord, I'm trusting you to resurrect everything that I can't fix. That's what Easter is about. New life. And we shouldn't wait till April to celebrate Easter. Every day should be Resurrection Day. Let us pray. Kind Father, I know we've been here this morning for a little while, but Lord, I thank you for these messages. Lord, I thank you for teaching us that forgiveness is a gift from you. Jesus, we thank you for asking the Father to bring us to forgiveness. We thank you for promising that you would never leave us, that we could spend eternity with you. We thank you for making a way that we could become children of God and live forever with the family of God. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for all that you have done for us, that, Lord, you suffered so that we could be satisfied. You carried out the will of the Father, and, Lord, you trusted him that we may have victory over sin and death. If you're here this morning and you don't know the peace with God, and you know that you're still living your way and not God's way, it's just this simple. If you're here this morning, God has drawn you here to know that you can be forgiven. You just need to say, Lord Jesus, I repent of living life my way. I asked you to take control of my life. I believe you died for me. Please forgive me and take control of my life. Thank you for saving me. If you prayed that this morning, raise your hand. If you're here and you've been a Christian a long time, I'm just asking you this week to look back through these passages and just thank Jesus that he prayed for you, that he promised never to leave you, that he made you into a family. Each one of these messages that we've looked at this morning, I pray that you would just look at them, that you would just ask the Lord to take control of your life, that you'd thank him for a satisfied life, a full life, thank him for paying the debt of sin. Between now and next Sunday, be preparing to thank God for the resurrection and the new life that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I'm thankful for his resurrection. I'm glad he completed it all. And I think this song is just fitting. It's a song that we've been doing for several years, and we did it first on Easter, and it's we've sung it just about every time, everywhere we've gone. But it's It talks about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. And all three had to be complete for the whole thing to be complete.
Amen.
Jesus did those for us.
Since he had taken his last breath, sorrow filled the air. The birds stopped singing everywhere. Nothing seemed the same. The clouds began to weep the rain. It was the second day in the tomb where he lay. Satan smiled with glee. He said, I have the victory. You said you come to save. Oh, but now you're in the grave.
Very early that third morn, before the dawn had come, demons danced around, chanting, Satan, you have won. But God, in all of his greatness, stood up from the throne and nodded to the angel to roll away the stone. And as the sun began to rise, he opened up his eyes. The Father turned and said, oh, my son's no longer dead. And the angels filled the sky. The heavens shout, the demons cry, as the King was
so much for being here, and I just pray that you have a blessed week as we go into this Easter time, and y'all just give God a hand. Amen. Potter's Wheel, they've got their music back here, and I suggest if you ride in the car a lot to listen to Didn't I Walk on Water, because I got to get me one. I about wore I was out. Amen. I love that song, but their music is back there. The white bucket here and back there is for the offering. We thank y'all for being here. Bobby asked me to announce that next Saturday the men are going to meet and clean up the yard so it looks good for Easter Sunday. What time? 10 o'clock. If you want to help clean up, you can do that. If you want to help be here about a little before 9 and or while we're eating breakfast, some of you can help, and we'll do some Easter egg hiding for the kids, and immediately after church, we'll take the kids out behind the building here, and we'll have the Easter egg hunt. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Okay, and we'll clean up in here next Saturday at 10 o'clock. There's a volunteer list back there in the room on the left. When you start out, several people asked about that. We're going to start volunteering and to help clean up. Somebody can, like, vacuum in here, and we'll have somebody vacuum in another part and help clean up. So if you want to do that, sign up, and they'll get in touch with you with that. Thank y'all, and let us pray. And kind Father, we thank you for such a blessed, blessed holy day. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the music. Lord, we just thank you for that last song, Lord, just sending us out here on our tiptoes praising you. And Lord, we just thank you that you are the God of life, that you are victorious over sin and death. And Lord, you pour life into us, that Lord, everywhere we walk, we can be just lifting up the glory of Christ, that the Son may glorify the Father. And Lord, we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank y'all so much.